Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
Reminding you, support for the Mark Steiner Show comes from the Maryland State Education Association. The Maryland Dream Act makes sure kids who graduated from a Maryland high school and whose parents have paid taxes for at least 3 years can pay in-state tuition. Investing in the education of our kids benefits our state, our economy, and the young people who will get a shot at achieving their dreams. No matter how you feel or which way you want to vote, on November 6th, please do vote. Voters get to determine many things that day, including question 4. So it's important to vote. Get out there and do it. More information about ballot question 4 can be found at educatingmarylandkids.org. Anthony and I are now joined in this first part of our program by Chris Van Hollen, of course, U.S. Congressman from Maryland's 8th Congressional District in the D.C. suburbs, and was the man who helped prepare Joe Biden for the debate that took place last week. And Chris, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Mark. Great to be back on the show.
So we just have to know what that was like. So did you play as if you were your fellow Congressman Ryan, or what did you do?
Well, that's right. I mean, look, you have a debating set that's set up very much like the one you saw on during the debate. And my role was to be the vice president's sparring partner because I'm the senior Democrat on the budget committee. So I sit next to Paul Ryan every day on these budget issues, and I know the way that he likes to frame the arguments. And so the idea was it could help the vice president understand how Paul Ryan likes to present these issues.
Congressman Van Hollen, this is Anthony McCarthy. I'm very curious about the debate prep. I know we're going to talk about other issues, but did you ever expect Vice President Biden to do as well as most of the folks who observed that debate came away saying he really was well prepared and really was able to spar back and forth with Ryan, unfortunately in a way that the president wasn't able to do in the first debate with Romney?
Well, we'll of course see how the president's debate tomorrow night
goes. Right.
But look, I thought that the vice president was going to do really well, and he did. As you know, he is passionate about these issues. He's passionate about fighting for the middle class. So this is a guy who grew up in a working class neighborhood in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he feels these issues in his gut. And he obviously marshaled the facts to show how the Romney-Ryan plan would really be bad for the middle class in all sorts of respects. And so I thought the vice president not only brought a passionate argument, but a very informed one to that debate.
Well, I was wondering as I was watching it and realizing that I knew that you were his sparring partner, as the papers wrote about, and people were critiquing, of course, President Barack Obama's performance in the very first debate, another one coming up tomorrow night, which we'll, of course, be covering Wednesday, and I'll be watching tomorrow night. But the kind of aggressive, really the counterpunching and coming out there using a boxing analogy that the vice president did, really aggressively taking on all the issues and throwing them back and also raising his own issues. Do you think that was important in terms of because of what happened in the first debate, and how do you think that will affect the debate coming up?
I do think it was very important because, you know, one of the things that surprised the president in the first debate was Mitt Romney showed up, who was changing his positions on all the issues. You know, and he, the president sort of said, you know, this is a new Mitt Romney on stage. But it was really important to go beyond that and challenge the Romney-Ryan plans, including their budget plans, which would be very bad for senior citizens on Medicare, would be very bad for middle-income taxpayers who would have to pay a lot more in order to provide these big tax breaks to folks like Mitt Romney, and to fight back on all the other issues, like, you know, where was Mitt Romney during the economic collapse? Well, he was all for helping the big banks on Wall Street, but he was against helping the manufacturing sector and helping save the automobile industry. So, you know, Joe Biden made all those points very strongly, and the good news was when they conducted polls after the debate of the undecided voters who watched that debate, the vice president won overwhelmingly. There was a CBS poll overnight of, again, the independent voters who watched it, and he hit a home run with them, and of course he helped re-energize Democrats as well.
Now, one of the things that struck me about the debate, and I want to ask you a question about the preparation before you go as well, but one of the things that struck me about that debate was an article written by after the debate that talked about how important these debates really are, that people didn't think they were as important, but that many of the people watching are millions of Americans who don't pay that close attention to the nuances of politics. So often kind of move in a visceral and intellectual, but a visceral sense around the issues and the person who's espousing whatever position it is at the moment. And that the power of that debate in terms of Romney really had an effect on many voters' minds. Because this is kind of very malleable group of millions of Americans who really, you know, they think and care about things, but they're not every day following everything in the like political junkies do. So these debates have a real importance, I think.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Look, you know, most people have obviously a lot going on in their lives, just trying to make ends meet, trying to make sure, you know, they get to their job, take care of their kids, their families. And so many people don't begin to tune in, understandably, until after Labor Day in September. And so the first things they see, many of them, are the party conventions, and then they go into these debates. And so I do believe the debates are very important. While there are not that many undecided voters left, it's very possible that those that are left will determine the outcome of this election. That's why these debates are really important, and that's why it was great that the vice president was able to really begin to smoke out exactly what the Romney-Ryan budget would do to regular people, and where we were unable to get the details from Ryan to show that they really had no details that they were willing to share with the public. I don't think Romney and Ryan are going to get away with the just trust me approach, especially when you've got, you know, someone like Romney, who is clearly taking advantage himself of all sorts of tax loopholes. So when he says that he's going to do tax reform, in a way that is not going to shift the burden to middle income taxpayers, it's kind of curious because the one tax preference that he has said that he will not touch is the one that helps him the most, the one that has to do with a capital gains treatment for wealthy people and for so-called carried interest, which a lot of hedge fund guys use. So Romney has said everything's on the table, that all the things that benefit middle-income taxpayers, all those deductions are on the table, but the ones that help him the most, you can't touch them. And so I think that the debate with the vice president helped reveal those kind of issues, also helped to remind people that both Romney and Ryan were in favor of the George Bush plan to privatize Social Security. And the vice president asked the country, you know, where would seniors have been during the financial meltdown if we'd been listening to these guys? I mean, they would have been devastated, senior citizens, if we'd done that. And that's essentially what they're calling for on their Medicare privatization plan now. So, look, it was a good night to finally lay bare exactly what the Romney-Ryan alternative would bring and the fact that it would be bad news for the overwhelming majority of the country.
Congressman, we're running out of time. I do want to ask you a bigger question. My family is from Virginia. I have a lot of relatives who are working and campaigning for Tim Kaine, the former governor of Virginia, in that tightly contested Senate race in Virginia. A lot of people saying that the Democrats, if the president is able to do well, just may hold on to that Senate and come close to, if not, taking back the House. If you had two or three races that people were talking about early on were no plus for the Democrats, but now are competitive or the Democrats ahead, where should we be looking on election night as we see the House and the Senate in strong contention?
Well, all good questions. I mean, first of all, with respect to Governor Kaine, Tim Kaine's race, he is doing very well. As you know, I mean, it's important that nobody take the outcomes of any of these for granted.
That's right.
Virginia is a huge battleground state, as is Ohio and Colorado and the other four or five states that we know about. And so everybody's sort of got to, you know, keep the pedal to the metal right through the end. With respect to the House races, look, we are gaining momentum. We will definitely, the Democrats will pick up House seats. We need to get to the magic number of 25 in order to have the Democrats take control of the House. I would say that there are a number of toss-up races around the country, some up in New York State, some in Florida, even in New Hampshire. It's hard to pinpoint one race and say, you know, this is such a, such a sort of indicator that if we win or lose that race, it means we're having a good night. I mean, a good night defined as taking back the house. We're going to have a good night no matter what. We're going to have a good night no matter what. But look, I think that what people need to keep an eye on as we go into the house races is what they call the generic polls. Those are the polls that ask voters, you know, would you prefer to have a House of Representatives controlled by the Democrats or one controlled by the Republicans? And if we can continue to widen that spread so that it gets in the 5-6 point range, then we're in striking distance.
Congressman Van Hollen, I want to thank you so much once again for joining us and taking a piece of your valuable time for our listeners.
Well, I appreciate your having me. Thanks.
Chris Van Hollen, 8th Congressional District, who helped prep Joe Biden for his debate last week, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Congressman, take care.